Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father,
from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our sermon text today is the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning at the 23rd verse. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own hearts, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name or Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. When one of this people, or a prophet or a priest, asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered, or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more, for the burden is every man's own word. And you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? Or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say the burden of the Lord, says the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I sent to you, saying you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up, and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Set us apart from the lies of this world. Set us apart from the evil that so clouds our hearts and minds at times. Set us apart for yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is true. Amen. Please be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I know I've told some of you this, but probably not all of you. I used to be, among other things, a homeowners association president. And that's like the least glamorous job in the world, I think. It's really not much fun. My job was very simple, though. I just needed to make sure that our association followed the laws and that we kept to our budget and that the common areas were mowed. You know, we had grass up north. And those sorts of things were pretty routine. And they weren't a problem at all. But I'll tell you what was the problem. Oftentimes, I would say something to someone, And they would take my words, and unbeknownst to me, they would twist them around to try to make a point, to try to influence things or change things in the association. And they would create all manner of problems for me by changing what I had said. And so I think the hardest part of my job as a homeowners association president was combating falsehood. Sometimes I would tell somebody some good news. By the time it came back to me, it was something horrible. I was accused of saying all kinds of things, and that can be so frustrating and so angering. And I'm guessing that many of you have had a similar experience in your lives where you've said something and pretty soon it comes back to you in a firestorm and it has nothing to do with what you said. God must be terribly angry about what has been done with the good news of his grace, the good news of forgiveness in Christ. Since the beginning, since the fall in the Garden of Eden, the devil and the world and the sinful hearts of mankind have been taking God's word, which is ever so good, and twisting it around and turning it on itself, supposedly. They take the promise of grace and pervert it into anything but grace. Today I could preach to you about God's righteous anger because that's the context that's all around our sermon text today, and you can hear it in Jeremiah's words. The people of Israel had turned to all kinds of idols, to all manner of falsehoods. And they were holding on to those things and not paying attention to what God had said about himself, that God is a loving God, and that he would save them. The Lord was very angry at those who were promoting falsehoods, those who were burdening the people and telling them that they must do this or that in order to save themselves. But our sermon text has a positive theme for us Christians today. And it's this: under the banner of God's word, we will prevail. Under the banner of God's word, we will prevail because false messages will fall and fail. Under the banner of God's word, we will prevail and the truth will be heard. And under the banner of God's word, we will prevail because whether we live or die, we live beneath the triumphant banner of the gospel. Now imagine for a moment Jeremiah's job. It was way worse than being a homeowners association president, I guarantee you. Jeremiah was a prophet, and that was a glorious thing, but what he had to do was difficult. He had to go to the people of Israel and tell them that they were idolaters. Even though they held up the old books and said, "We are the people of God," they were preaching all kinds of things that had nothing to do with what God had revealed to them. Jeremiah was sent to the people to tell them this, to tell them that they had rejected the gifts of the one true God. Imagine how difficult that must have been for him. There might have been only a few people, a few of Jeremiah's contemporaries who along with him still trusted and believed what God had said, who understood the goodness of the Lord. Now, repeatedly in the revelation that was given to Jeremiah, God compares false messages and false prophets to dreams. And this will help us understand what Jeremiah is saying. God's point is that sometimes we have pleasant dreams, dreams that we enjoy, dreams that we don't want to wake up from, but eventually we do wake up. And those dreams are gone. Sometimes even completely forgotten. Sometimes we have nightmares and they seem very realistic. But no matter how horrifying they are, at the end we wake up. And those dreams are disregarded and forgotten. The falsehoods that were being taught by the devil and promoted by the false teachers of the world, the falsehoods even that are born in our own sinful hearts, they are like those dreams. They are fleeting. They have nothing solid to offer us. They're not real. They fail to satisfy. They fall with the rising of the Son of God, just as dreams fall at the rising of the sun in our sky. And so all of these strange ideas that the people had, that they must do this or that, that they must please God so that he won't be angry with them anymore. All of those ideas that they had from all the nations around them were like dreams, one day destined to be gone. But thank the Lord that the truth will endure forever. It'll never go away. It's not going to change. All the falsehood in this world cannot change the facts. All the lies of the false teachers, all the lies of the devil, they fall and fail eventually, but the truth will be heard. Truth, according to Jeremiah, is a fire that burns through impure things. It's like a hammer that breaks through even the toughest stone, no matter how hard it might be. So what is this truth? Well, it's the message that the prophets have been bringing for 1,000 years and more. It's the message that Jesus spoke. It's the message that he gave his apostles to preach. It's the message that we hear from this pulpit when God's word is preached even today. The Father sent it. It came down upon the church at Pentecost. It is that fire that burns in faithful hearts like yours and mine. The truth is good news. The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The truth is that because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. It's that truth. That truth that we have been forgiven, that we have eternal life, not because of anything in us, but because of what Jesus did for us. That truth stands forever. It's accomplished fact. Trust it. Believe it. It's God's word. It's not a dream. It's not going away. Every day I encourage you to read the word of God and remember what the word said to you the day before, and I guarantee you it does not change. False teachers preach all kinds of things. We must do this, we must do that in order to make God happy with us. 500 years ago, people were preaching that you have to give up all your stuff and live without anything in poverty. That's the way you'll make God happy with you. And nowadays we have people preaching from pulpits telling you that the measure of how good a Christian you are is how much stuff you have and how prosperous you are. You see how it goes from one side to the other. Every manner of falsehood in between is being taught. And yet God's word remains constant. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And thank God. When you're flying high, when things are going well for you in your life, well, the false teachers will say, you see, it's positive thinking. When things are down, when your conscience is bothering you, same people will point you to your good works and say, do some more so that you can make God happy with you. All over the board. And they leave behind them a train wreck of guilty consciences. They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. But you, Christians, don't listen to them. Listen to God's word. Listen to what he has to say, not the dreams, not the falsehoods. Pay attention to the truth, because that word of God is for you and for me. That truth is for you and for me. Doesn't matter if you're up or down. Doesn't matter how things are going in your life, what has happened in the past. Doesn't matter what a terrible thing you might have done somewhere in your youth. Jesus Christ paid for it all on the cross. That's the enduring message of the scripture. He paid for it with his own body and blood. And then so that you might know for certain that his payment sufficed for all your sins. He rose from the dead as only he could. The Son of God and Son of Man. He did this for you. That's the message of the scriptures. Our blessings are countless. Our peace is endless. Our sins are forgiven. Our home is in heaven. And nothing can take that away. Surely we would like to go on living today and for many days in the future, enjoying these blessings of God. But truly it doesn't matter whether we live or die, because we live eternally. We live eternally under that banner of the gospel. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream. But let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. We have the word of God. It is near to us. We hear it preached. We have Bibles these days. And I hope you're using yours. We have the scriptures, and it's written on our hearts by the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's kindled in us, the fire of God's holy love. So what are we going to do with that? Hide it beneath a bushel? Can you imagine the disciples on Easter morning? Can you imagine them trying to cover up the truth about what had happened, about the glory of the Lord? Could we deny others the truth with our own inaction, our own silence? May it never be. And if it has been, if we have let someone slip away into unbelief and not spoken to them, well, the Lord forgives that. And he sends us forth from this place with his good message on our lips once again. It's too good for us to keep to ourselves. And God would not have it so. He wants us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever Jesus has commanded us. Today, when we leave here, I want you in your mind's eye to look up at that banner of God's word. We are marching together beneath the goodness of the gospel. And when we falter, let us look up and see that that gospel banner does not. It stays the same forever. When we feel strong, let us look up to that gospel banner and know that it is not our doing, but Christ who is working powerfully within us. When we fret about the words that we're going to say to someone, let us remember that God promises to send his Holy Spirit to be upon our lips so that he will bring about the right words at the right time, even if they don't seem like it to us. When our selfishness and our time wasting has gotten better of us, especially if someone we know is living in unbelief, has passed away and perished eternally. And let us not continue in silence, but look up at that banner of God's word and proclaim it all the louder, and proclaim that message of grace so that we might not lose another to the falsehoods that are falling and failing all around us. May God carry that banner of truth ahead of us and grant us the strength to follow him and tell the world the good news, the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ, and crucified in him, the risen. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.